Legend becomes fact. Print the legend.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Trusting in the sanity and restraint of the United States is not a strategy, and it is not an option.
Was a conspiracy notion out there. How much influence do you have? Was it you and your fellow neoconservatives that created the momentum towards overthrowing Saddam Hussein?
Nobody does a thing in this town without our approval.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets.
Welcome back to Cloak and Dagger. I'm your host, Lenny Bloom, along with my co-host, the great American Judge Buster, Sherman H. Skolnick. Sherman is on assignment right now. Joining me is Captain Eric May of Ghost Troop. Captain, it's an honor to have you back here to bring us your treasury of knowledge, wisdom, and experience to Cloak and Dagger.
Well, Lenny, it's a pleasure to be on, and I tell you, you know, 9/10 of all good intelligence is where you're located on the battlefield. And in this global war battlefield, Houston, Texas has been one of the happening outposts, hasn't it, Lenny?
It sure has.
The summer has centered around my house. I've been on the side of this thing. I have a friend, Ambassador Chase Untermeyer. He's Ambassador to Qatar, my best friend. And I wrote him back in the winter saying, I hope that the Middle East doesn't turn into a Vesuvius and you don't wind up being Pliny the Elder, who was the fellow who wound up dying there.
Right.
And it looks like it turned out the other way, so that Houston has become the Vesuvius. Right down here on the summer on the Gulf Coast, it feels like hell, Lenny. It's the longest summer of my life.
Yeah.
It may still be summer on Thanksgiving, for all I know. We're 10 degrees above normal here, and we've been that way. And I got to tell you, you can't do anything without saying that... today is 10/19, by the way. 119, Lenny.
Yeah.
It's the 10th month, 19th day. As your regular listeners know, we play the cult numerics because they play them. It's not that they mean anything to us inherently. So you've got a 9/11 reversal, 119. So that's the day they decided to go ahead and throw Osama on trial, which I think backfired on them, by the way. And that's the day that this morning at 1 o'clock in the morning, the Houston Chronicle up, shameless lapdog Bush camp follower, what they made sure to tell us was that at 1 o'clock a.m., this storm set all kinds of new records. The Wilma, which was a nothing, what, 36 hours ago?
Then
a hurricane 24 hours ago, and they made sure to tell us all the superlatives. In the middle of the night, suddenly this had attained more power, more rapidly, attained greater wind velocity. And they were, the media was just hyping it because you could tell the National Weather Service is the agency that's co-opted here and it's playing this out. And what this flies in the face of, Lenny, is that we're 4 weeks after the autumnal equinox. To anyone in the northern hemisphere who hears my voice, we are in the middle of fall. And they've been showing not 1 degree climatic differences. They have stolen a season.
Yeah.
They have kept it summer here in the south. into the middle of fall. So, Lenny, they're cooking up the water. And I encourage all of your listeners who are scientifically inclined who may not believe in weather wars technology, weather war weapons, which is what we're talking about tonight. In fact, weather weapon Wilma, W3, weather weapon Wilma.
Yep,
for those who don't believe in them, just get out your National Geographic or go online. You're probably better at it than I am anyway, and start looking up Gulf temperatures. I became a believer when my people in Ghost Troop did a cyber recon. We put about 2 days into weather weapons research before I was willing to commit the unit prestige to making that analysis of Katrina and then later of Rita. And those reports are online, by the way. You can look it on the Internet through Ghost Troop Captain May. But anyway, we did 2 days of research, throwing maybe 100 man-hours into this thing, and came up just where you, Lenny, have always been, with the idea that the techniques and technologies of weather weapons warfare are available and, in fact, in existence.
Yeah,
being used.
Yeah, and these are harpicanes, hurricanes created by HAARP weapon technology.
Let's go ahead and say what HAARP is, Lenny.
What is HAARP? HAARP is a high-intensity oral form of weaponry using high power to high power waves, waves.
The actual acronym, though, is High Altitude
Oral Research Project.
Ah, okay, yeah, that's what they were hiding in the black budget with the Star Wars defense, right? The
absolutely.
Yeah, so there we are, and you know when we play this out now, we're playing the Bush out as a Neo Nero. There's the code name for Bush lately. Because he's like a maniac with a wrecking ball. I mean, for God's sake, Cindy Sheehan was getting him back to him in August, and he called in a hurricane on New Orleans to get the press away from Cindy Sheehan. Probably a long-standing project, by the way, to reform the Gulf Coast. You see, that's the part, if I were to write a history of ancient Rome now, I'd understand better why Nero did it. Nero had probably set up the contracting business in the streets of Rome the same way the Bush boys were setting up the contracts for the rebuilding of New Orleans.
Now, Eric, let's move on. Let's move on to the French Revolution, American Revolution that we were talking about before we came on.
Well, you know, Lenny, I've always looked at the info war in phases of defense. Your listeners probably know that I'm not really involved in this because I ever wanted to be or because I was ever eager to be, but I saw things covered up, and they made me an officer of conscience go on a mission of conscience.
Right.
I've always had the view that our first defense, our first thing is to defend the Constitution, and that's what I do, because that's what every officer swore an oath to do, whether he be a, or she be a law enforcement or military officer or enlisted, and anybody who ever served took that oath.
Right.
But what this is headed back towards is, I spent 30 months on this mission of conscience, and I've written a million words, and, you know, most of them are online, you know that. I'm not sure that when I look at it at this distance, I don't know how much left to defend there is. Every institution has failed systemically to lead us to the brink of a world war and to impose a tyranny upon us. And right now, you know, we're hoping that a special prosecutor can somehow restore the balance. But I've always thought that if you're an American, you have two documents that you support. And the Constitution is the first line of defense for every American. But you wind up pushed just far enough, and you go back to the Declaration, Declaration of Independence. And if people go really too far, they can turn it back to a Declaration of Rights, where you have fiery, angry people. And I think this is ahead. I think that right now, for instance, in the American black community, many of them are enraged. I mean, because I think this little outbreak we had in Toledo last weekend just kind of captured some of that. That, you know, 2% of the blacks in America have a favorable opinion of Bush. You know, those are dangerous numbers. And there are many people who are being so abused. You know, they're trying the patience of the South greatly. Because I think that whether people understand these hurricanes are weather weapons or not, you know, used to impose economic, socioeconomic, political changes on the fabric of the South. Whether they realize that or not, they recognize that this is getting to be a pain in the butt.
Well,
it's all happened since George was president.
And
this one's going to happen with Brother Jeb over there to show how the Bush family can do it right. Because they're going to turn this thing down. They're saying now a Tuesday landfall, Sunday to Tuesday landfall, Florida.
Yeah.
Look, man. They're doing so much voodoo meteorology that it makes me giggle.
Yeah.
They're coming up with, there are no numbers that account for anything. All they are is cheerleaders for weather weapons.
Yeah.
Where they say, yes, the barometric pressure has come down to this, and this is so close to the record. and we set the record owner, and this is the fastest and the bestest. They're playing some kind of a simulation like a bunch of strange loves. And what they're doing is, what's really happening is weapons are being hurt. You know, who knows what this ultraviolet, whatever kind of energy comes out of HAARP, and maybe we don't know all the variables, who knows what this is doing to us? I mean, it's heated our atmosphere up 10 degrees. Everybody around here's got, you know, allergies and ozone and whatnot.
Yeah, and those are from the chemtrails, the spraying of poisons in the atmosphere, those straight lines that you see crossing the sky.
I hear more and more about it, and I'm taking an interest in it, Lenny. But, you know, there's a quote from Shakespeare. And
we call them Prince Philip Airlines here in Toronto.
There's a quote from Shakespeare that says so much about the Info War, and before the Info War, it wouldn't have made a whole lot of sense to me, which is when he has Hamlet say to his friend Horatio, "There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamed of in your philosophy." And I'm thinking, man, once you start tuning into what they can do and what they have done,
it really
boggles the mind. And that's why I say this is the institutions of our government must begin to wipe themselves off, get out of bed with King George, and begin to approximate a constitutional republic.
Well,
they're going to lose, one way or another, we're going to lose the republic.
Well,
we're going to have the institution of a dictatorship, or we're going to have the outbreak of anarchy and revolution.
Well, we wouldn't put up with it in Canada this long. I mean, we would have gotten rid of them right after the 2000 election if it happened in Canada. We would have had a non-confidence bill on the floor of the House, and there would have been an immediate election, and he'd have been out. The thing is this, that it's gone so far now, so very, very far, you got to wonder at what point the United States is going to break out in a full-scale revolution, or another revolution.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think more at this point, I think the confidence of the public, the public has lost confidence in the government as an efficient institution. But it may have confidence that the government is still an effective institution to such an extent that it's not ready. No, let me...
But the thing is, you've taken an oath, and under the Declaration of Independence, if you haven't overturned the government at this point and the whole system, then you aren't abiding by the Declaration of Independence, which says that it's your sworn duty when the government no longer supports the best interests of the people to get rid of it.
Well,
and Bush is obviously not doing anything in the best interest of we the people. He couldn't care less about we the people.
Right.
So we the people have already sworn a document long ago, 200 years ago, saying that when that happens, that the king, the president, becomes like a monarch and rules like a monarch at the expense of the people and screws the people, it's the people's duty to take over. But they've got to start doing that. When are they going to start doing that?
Well, let's go ahead and start with one officer I can speak for, and that's myself, mobilized on a mission of conscience, reported to the military, reported to our channels. You know, I started at the top on this thing. When I published the Ghost Troop site on 1221-2003, December 21st, 2003, we played their numbers back at them to mess with them.
Good stuff.
I published that site, I announced at the bottom that I considered myself to be in a state of revolution against unconstitutional and unconscionable abuse by the so-called president. So, for my own part, for Ghost Troop continues to be, and what we proclaimed in the summer, which was a state of constitutional coup, which means right now we are within the Bill of Rights and the protection of the Constitution because that's the most efficient means available to us. But, Lenny, you remember the night, 728, and I encourage your listeners to go to the front page. Pay the bucks to go to the back to the archives for some of this stuff, but on the front page you have those 728 interviews. And that was a night that was extremely exciting. And that night we said we were in a coup because we thought that the Bush boys, we not only thought, we knew, you knew, the Bush boys tried to false flag Texas City, Texas. And we stopped it the night of the 28th. Those interviews are on your front page. They're great interviews. And at that point we declared constitutional coup and demanded the arrest of George Bush. He's a tyrant. I mean, I don't even talk about the presidency. I haven't talked about the presidency in 2 years. I talk about the monarchy.
Yeah, we've got those interviews.
You can't get to that semantical point. You can't even understand the paradigm.
Yeah, we've got those ghost
dynastic dwarf.
We've got those interviews right at the top of the Cloak and Dagger tonight, and for those listening, it's go listen to the May, all the May briefing, 7 to 8, they're all there.
Well, yeah, the one we had the first one that day, that afternoon, when they blew Texas City to cover the getaway, and then we did the great pyrotechnic Vesuvius eruption. And by the way,
I should put a heading there: Ghost Troop Stops the Bush Coup, shouldn't I?
Yeah, well, the false flag. Ghost Troop Saves Texas City, Texas. Man, that is the trifecta. They did Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, then New York City, New York, then Texas City, Texas. It's their fetish, the parallelism. Then the three parallel ones mean 33, 11 being the value of every parallel, New York, New York, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, you know, Texas City, Texas.
And yes, that's a great point.
We averted the incident. You remember Cheney was having Northcom?
Northcom.
Stratcom. No, Stratcom.
Stratcom.
They were doing the Dr. Strangelove plans, man. We were getting ready. Remember that song they did back in the 1980s, 1979, the bomb, 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 Iran, because we were mad about the hostages?
Yeah.
And they did the Beach Boys song, Bomb Iran. Well, that's what they were getting ready to do.
Can you imagine when you think back on it and you look at the record, you'll see that it was Bush 41, Daddy Bush, who actually used his intelligence organization to hold hostage his own citizens. Talk about treason or what?
That's the whole thing's been predicated upon that. You know, Larry,
great book by Richard Dreyfuss. I suggest to everybody to get it. A Hostage to Iran. Hostage to Khomeini, it's called. Hostage to Khomeini. And it talks about the guys who ran the operation of kidnapping the American hostages right from the Office of Naval Intelligence Headquarters down the street from Pennsylvania Avenue, from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So they were scratching their heads at the White House, and the operation was being run right down the street. What a joke. What a country. What a joke country.
The more they stay the same. Anyway, hey, you know, this thing, by the way, this weapon, we've got to look at the Harpacane for a minute, as you call it that, but what I call Weather Weapon Wilma. Boy, you could start stuttering saying that too many times, so I go with W-3. But anyway, W-3 is going to hit Florida Sunday. Right? Let's do it from a PR. We're doing it from an info war and a weather war thing. Now let's do it from an info war as in PR thing. It's going to hit Florida, according to prediction, right after the Sunday morning talks. So the idea is it's going to hold the national attention for a weekend, during which time deals can be made and the equilibrium can be restored. That's the way these things work. And the attention will be off the Bush White House. And then it's going to go around Florida. Now, remember, when it gets to Florida, Jeb's the most prepared guy in the country. Brother Jeb's got his thing taken care of. Because last year they used Florida for the Florida Four, the four hurricanes that hit Florida. They used it as a testing range. And Florida is going to come out smelling like a rose, but then this thing's going to pop out past Florida. They've already marked a trajectory for us. We know where it's going to go. But they're saying it's meteorology, and I'm telling you it's direction, and it's because of geopolitics. They go past Florida, and then they're going to threaten the whole East Coast. They're going to have a gun to the temple, the left temple of America, the East Coast. And right now I think it's gone to the point that what that's going to allow, of course, is that all the homeland forces, all this police state, this homeland sweet homeland that they've erected, where, you know, Big Brother has become that pointy little Chertoff, whose name means devil in Russian, and he's a Russian Jew. I mean, it's like bad Dostoevsky. But because that hurricane's going to go up the East Coast, all these units are going to mobilize. All these operations are going to mobilize. And these are good old boys who haven't got a clue that they're being lied to yet. And that's how you got things like what happened in New Orleans with Katrina, and, you know, what could very well happen if you have torrential flooding. And by the way, the last week, when we talk about the weather events of 2005, everyone's going to think of the three Category 5 hurricanes, but you also have that torrential dousing that New York and New Jersey got that's washing things away, which hadn't happened in a century and more. And you had the same thing in Houston. The first place they tested this crap out was Houston, don't you know?
Yeah.
If you're an arsonist, Lenny, what's the house that's most likely for you to burn down if you're an arsonist? Your own.
Your own house, yeah.
Your own. I mean, and who does Bush try to call home? Man, it's like Oedipus. He got to stab mama with whatever, however. Let's not pursue the metaphor. I mean, this is a real MF. He's an Oedipus.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate MF is an Oedipus. And they're going to stick it. Well, anyway.
Well, listen, we got it. We're running skinny on time.
Weapons have been used all the way from the Allison, which washed Houston out in 2001, the first summer George Bush was in office, right 2 months before 9/11. And they're being used to this day to keep a state of terror going. This isn't a global war on terror. That's a joke. It's a mistypo. It's a typo. It's the global war of terror.
Yeah.
And the terror is on us. So this is a terror weapon that's going to imperil the eastern seaboard and allow the forces that are losing control of the eastern seaboard, meaning New York and D.C., your two political and media cities, to mobilize police and HOMSECA. That's our Gestapo, Homeland Security Agency.
We've got to wrap it up, Eric. I want to thank you for giving us a briefing, and it's just been tremendous. Listen, though, you've got it. What's the date? We got 10/20 tomorrow and 10/21. Certainly, we're going to hear from you on 10/22 for another briefing as we count down these important numbers.
That would be a pleasure. I'm looking forward to whatever day until. I think the big one we have to look at is 10/31. That's a 131-311 anagram, which, of course, is Madrid Day. So this being a 119, that accounts for why they started Hussein's trial today to try and show power over their enemies, and it shows why they zapped this thing up from first gear to fifth gear in 7 hours, you know, 12 hours, 15 hours. There's been demonstrations, but I tell you what, Lenny, these are not the demonstrations of power of a competent or comfortable monarch.
No.
These are the demonstrations of power of a desperate
panic.
Tyrant.
And panic.
That's what he is. It's a classic historic analysis. King George is waging war on geographically with weather weapons upon his own people. They're using these wonder weapons, these weather weapons, as a tool to restructure the South of all places where people are really most down to earth and credulous and trusting and fine people. I'm one of them.
Yeah, and
their aim is to turn us into a new serfdom for King George.
Yeah,
we're the model. We're what's to be.
Yeah, and the thing is this, that it's not only it's King George, and there's the viceroys, and he also is the sheriff of Nottingham because he's treating the people the way the sheriff of Nottingham did under the evil King John. So you said it. That's exactly it. The king using all sorts of sophisticated weapons to make it look like it's a natural disaster and hide the fact that it's part of the military arsenal. And Captain May, that's why we call the show Cloak and Dagger, because the dagger is invisible because of the cloak.
You betcha, brother.
George Bush is using cloak and dagger. George Bush is using cloak and dagger methods against his people.
Yeah, look, these people are all like the Machiavelli. Do you ever wonder why they put the Sopranos on TV on Fox? It was so these lame white boys out in the chair could find something that made them glorify in a homicidality by proxy. Every one of them's willing to fight to the last drop of somebody else's blood, brother.
Yeah,
that's just what they are.
Beautiful way to put it. So,
look, Lenny, I want to give away two awards because it's been the day 119, their little 911 in the reverse, so I want to compliment them. First, the Orwell Award goes to the Senate hearings being held today behind cover of all this other crap, not reported at all, where they're trying to figure out whether they want to give special protection to the media so the media won't have to do things like inform which White House person used them to attack and savage someone else. So they're trying to do that in wake of everything that's coming out with the Fitzgerald hearings.
Beautiful.
And then there's the Chutzpah Award. You know what the Chutzpah Award is?
Well, that's the Yiddish word, but the way we say it in English is audacity. And the way the French say it is l'audace, l'audace, toujours l'audace.
Well, that's the accusation here, Tom.
Audacity, what audacity. Yes, go ahead. The Audacity Award goes to whom?
Judith Miller, the high priestess of prostitutes, because she had the chutzpah to step in there in the Senate hearing and say, look at my case, if only we had protection for sources. Here she is, the key to unlocking this grand cabal at this point, and if she had the protection she was there pleading for, it couldn't have ever happened. They're trying to make themselves the father confessors, the priest class. There's a new priest class. There's
absolutely.
The crowd, man.
It's called a zinger of a rat line.
Lenny, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
Eric,
well, since this is with compliments to the good people of Canada and the good people of France, who, of course, were our brothers in the American Revolution, I want to close with the MI motto by saying this is Ghost Troop Captain May, toujours en avant.
Becomes fact, print the legend.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Trusting in the sanity and restraint of the United States is not a strategy, and it is not an option.
was a conspiracy notion out there. How much influence do you have? Was it you and your fellow neoconservatives that created the momentum towards overthrowing Saddam Hussein?
Nobody does a thing in this town without our approval.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets.